This podcast is sponsored by RPG Sessions, an online role-playing tool for Genesis and Star Wars campaigns. Learn more about their character sheet, virtual game table, and Discord bot at rpgsessions.com.
D20 Radio, your gamer's role. www.d20radio.com.
It has been nearly 100 years since civilization came crashing down. Cities ground to a halt, billions of lives lost in just an instant. If the stories are true, 5 years later, it almost happened again, were it not for five heroes rising up to stand against the release of something horrible. Over the years, humanity clawed its way back, building from the ashes, but gun shy of letting civilization ever get to the top-heavy state it was in. In the early days of that cataclysm, gods returned, magic awoke in people's blood, all of them trying to survive harsh New England winters. The first heroes went their own ways after saving the world. One to the south of the region. With his guidance, plants thought lost to the apocalypse found root. Coffee, cotton, even tropical fruit all strangely thrive with the aid of magics pioneered in Island Park. Another shepherded a brand new faith into existence with the aid of the other chosen, those born called to serve. Even if the fifth of the so-called five has yet to show his influence. A third developed the art of artifice, using rare magic materials to create all manner of arcane inventions. She then spent the rest of her days sharing this knowledge to anyone interested in those arts. The marksman, a foreigner when the world came crashing down around him, formed a standing defensive force, where the region would be unable to protect itself should the need rise again. Indeed, that army would be put to the test twice in the years since. Once with him in command, then later, led by his youngest daughter. Finally, the ever-inquisitive fifth spent his days scouring the lands for knowledge, and indeed left on an expedition one day 50 years ago, and never returned. A group of ever-watchful librarians now watch for him, documenting history as it happens, fighting to preserve the history of the world that once was, and researching all things hidden before the cataclysm. Now 100 years have passed, and less of the old world looks like it did before. Crumbling, rotted homes and businesses dot the landscape, many having been overgrown by trees and weeds. Cities have nearly entirely crumbled and been reclaimed by the terrain around them. Broken black streaks lead here and there, remnants of the roads of old. We open, however, under a small awning, on a short hill overlooking a swamp. A road of compacted dirt and stone winds its way up the hill to the camping area, and there we see two figures settling in as the sun begins to set. Rob or Jay, if you would like to describe your characters and what they are doing at this moment. You basically reached a point before a swamp where the road becomes a little treacherous, specifically at night, because you go through some low-lying areas. There is a sign that suggests travelers stay here for the evening. And like I said, there is a small camp that has been, or small, like, covered area where you can set up a camp and a fire pit and that all that kind of stuff.
And you said it's raining?
It is not. It is fairly clear sky. The sun is just beginning to set.
Probably throwing down my gear. Sort of a young man. About 5'7". brown hair, blue eyes, sort of putting his backpack and bedroll to the side, to leaving his weapons on him, sword and a small dagger at his waist, and begins sort of gathering material to start a fire. I should also mention, Ben is the character's name. The person he's traveling with knows he answers to Benny, to Benjamin, things like that. He's not versed to nicknames.
Mm-hmm. Benny, I'm not sure I like the look of that swamp. I feel like we'll never be dry again after venturing in there.
I mean, that's probably true, especially if we decided not to stop here for the night.
Mm.
I don't want to fall in and never come up.
Mm. True enough.
And what does Eamon look like? Or Mac?
Mac McGuire is a slightly older gentleman, in his mid to late 30s, perhaps. Very short, a stately 5'5", red hair and beard. Just starting to see some hints of gray, with green eyes. Up close and face to face, his features are rather striking. But at a casual observation, he almost looks like someone you could lose in a crowd. He is wearing an old, not quite threadbare, but definitely approaching such, almost like a suit, in the style of the old world. A button up shirt with a jacket over that. It's probably unbuttoned, with slacks, good sturdy boots, and a bowler derby hat, with a big trench coat hanging over it. Just underneath the trench coat, when he walks, you can see in a sling hanging where like a shoulder holster for a pistol would have hung on a on a police officer in the old world, is a good size leather tome, edged in metal, with a small lock on it. And a sturdy looking knife hanging on the other side of his belt.
As you guys are sort of setting yourself up in your camp, you begin to see, you see another person approaching on the road. And this would be Jordan's character, if you want to describe as you approach.
So down the road approaches a man who is slightly larger than average in both height and build. He's got a little bit past his shoulder length hair. It's dark brown, nearly black. One brown eye, one almost glowing blue eye. The iris also doesn't look quite normal, almost more like a shark's eye. Weathered skin. He's got hooked scars going in a spiral pattern around his neck and onto his face, opposite side of the blue eye. Some facial hair. He looks like he might have just stepped out of a light rain. He's got piercings with thick metal hoops on his ears and nose, wearing a heavy leather jacket, like a duster. Looks like something a fisherman might wear. He's got a length of rope on his hip, a satchel on the other side, and on his back is a large, really tattered looking leather bag, just tied with a fishing knot or a boat knot. He's also carrying a heavy wooden and metal beaded mace. He walks with a heavy step down the road. And this is like a commonly used camp, right? So it's like a pre-established thing.
Yep.
And you said it's like a small hill, slightly elevated.
Yeah.
I will approach almost carelessly. Like, I'm not swayed by your presence, and I'll take a seat by the fire. Is there a fire going already, or?
I probably got the beginnings of one sort of started.
So I'll sit by this fire pit.
Once you've gathered basically a pile of wood with kindling underneath it, Mac will, as you're pulling out flint and steel, Mac will make a gesture with his right hand, and the wood starts burning.
That probably happens about the time that Tavrok approaches,
or probably wasn't even
gets there.
I've traveled with him before, so I'm probably just making a show of taking out flint and steel, not even actually reaching for it.
Mm-hmm.
As he gets closer to the fire, you can see that his jacket's open and he is shirtless, hat, and he has these thick, really like bold black lion tattoos going down his entire chest. And he wears a necklace with two bronze skulls and an emerald skull in the middle. So he sits down on the opposite side of the fire pit from you, and he just lays his heavy weapon down.
Hello, friend.
Greetings to you. Have you traveled far?
A few days.
And what brings you to this place of misery?
Wow, you really kind of lay it on thick there with the dark and brooding, don't you?
I don't know, I think I'm rather cheery. I just don't like a place where people go because they've hit rock bottom.
Have you hit rock bottom?
No, but someone I care about has. And I'm told they're here.
They haven't hit rock bottom. Still have their lives to them.
I like to think I'm entering the prime of my life.
And taking a glance towards Mac, business is, I feel like, why we're... Yourself? Oh, you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Are you in the business of picking up those who have hit rock bottom, Mr.
Tarvok. Tarvok Stormborn. And what might your names be?
You can call me Mac.
Ben.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
For Mac and Ben, this is probably about 2 days. This is probably the fourth day for Tavrok. On the road?
Mm-hmm.
So is that your business, Mr. Stormborn?
I'm here to get my companion. Their debts, they believe to be paid. They need to pay, have been settled. I'm here to take them home.
Oh. That's good to hear.
It's a mighty noble thing you're doing.
And just a quick aside, Jay, I don't know if I sent you the same message that they have. You would know that Jeremy's Hill is essentially a debtor's work camp. People who have a debt to pay often get sent here, and they work for the summer.
It's a logging camp.
Correct.
So your friend's repaid his debt then?
Their debt. And I've repaid it for him.
I'm not sure I follow your meaning, Mr. Stormborn.
While I was away, they fell on hard times. and thought this was a necessary means to an end. When I returned to find out that they've come here, I paid their debt, and I want to take my Senec home.
Good for them. Everyone's so lucky to have such fine friends.
It is about this time, as the sun has just about, the whole sun's just about across the horizon, that actually, it's about centered down on the horizon. Another figure appears on the road, just outside of where the three of you are sitting. If, Kayla, you want to describe your character?
Approaching is a tall woman. She's broad of shoulder, with these wiry muscles, a very athletic build. She has long, dark brown hair that's pulled back into a long braid. She's dressed in jeans that are clearly grass-stained at the knees. She's got worker's boots on that are caked in dry mud. And she wears a red and black short sleeve flannel button up. She's got these golden brown eyes and tanned skin of someone that clearly spends a majority of their time outdoors. And then very noticeably, she has mutations on her arms from her shoulders all the way down to her fingertips. It looks like her arms are made out of tree bark, and her fingernails grow into points in almost this like emerald green color, and they are in fact as hard as stone. As she approaches the camp, she stops suddenly, and a look of almost like irritation crosses her face as she realizes there are people at the camp. She takes a very long, deliberate moment to look at each of the men in turn and looks them up and down, assessing them. And her gaze finally falls onto Tarvok. And she very deliberately makes sure that when she sits down at the camp, that she is sitting directly across from him. And she sits with just kind of like a nod to everyone.
You might as well join us, miss. It's not like to get any less crowded around here.
My name is Maya. Maya Brooks.
It's a pleasure to make your acquaintance, Ms. Brooks.
She gives a nod.
I'm Mac.
You Mac?
Bet.
Ben?
I stand and I approach.
She's instantly, very slowly, like not in alarm, but she also rises to her feet.
And I kind of give a little bit of a bow. Tarvok Stormborn.
It's nice to meet you all.
It's a pleasure to meet you. We're just sharing what brought us along this road. Care to add your story to the mix?
Particularly. However, I am in search of someone. Has anyone else heard of a druid in these parts?
Have I heard anything about a druid in these parts?
No, you haven't specifically heard anything like that.
Not yet, but I'm sure there's people at Jeremy's Hill who might be more knowledgeable.
At the rate people keep turning up at this campsite, your wayward druid is like to just wander in and join us for supper.
That would be quite convenient. And she sits back down. Oh, yes, feel free to tell me while you guys are traveling.
I'll look at Ben and look back at her and go, business.
She nods at that. But she doesn't seem particularly interested.
Similar to you, miss, I'm here to bring my partner home.
Well, I wish you all the luck in your endeavor.
And they're right. Plenty of lost souls find their way here. So I suppose here you got just as good a chance of anywhere of finding your missing druid. But by chance, what do they look like?
Oh, I have no idea.
And so far as you know, they're not missing. It's just you heard they might be here.
So. Yep.
You have a name?
Nope, no name. Would I recognize Ben or Mac from Menden?
It's certainly possible you could have seen them in passing. I would say Ben more than Mac, given his description.
Yeah, I'm just asking, do they live in Menden like I do, or do they just were they just coming from Menden?
Mac lives in Menden and actually maintains an office there. So it's quite possible that you've heard of Mac McGuire, if not actually seen him.
I'd probably take my eyes off of Tarvok, sensing that he's not a threat, and kind of like give you both another like once over. You two look familiar. Where are you from?
Recently, Menden.
That's my hometown. You heard of Noah's Ranch up there? Just on the outskirts?
I think I know Noah's Ranch. I'm pretty sure I helped Noah's wife find her wedding ring when it gone missing.
Must have been a while back. She passed several years ago.
Could have been.
Living there with Noah's my baby brother. Been living there, helping him raise his three girls. Tend the farm.
That's a very noble pursuit.
When you know fruits and veggies, kind of becomes your life. Her voice kind of like softens a little as she starts to talk about the farming.
Just as the last light seems to be shining down here, as the camp fire is really starting to pick up, the final member of tonight's camp, you hear arriving. Probably light footsteps, but Corey, if you want to describe your character.
Sure. Seeing the fire up ahead from the camp, Lance Hawkins will purposefully make his approach known so that people can hear that he's coming. Approximately 5'10" to 6 feet tall. Lance wears leather armor that's reminiscent to what we would consider like biker's leathers in our time, but it's been reinforced with some strapping and some padding here and there, and a hood. He's carrying a large pack on his back, quiver at his side, bow. As he approaches, you can see the glint of steel polished on his other hip. It's a little hatchet. Once he's into the range of the light, you can see there's a rather dramatic appearance. He has very dark rimmed eyes, unnaturally so, with a scar down the right side of his face, from just above his eye on the forehead all the way down to his jawline. Thick white mustache and stubble. And a shock of white hair can be seen underneath the hood. As he approaches, Lance will take the pack from his back so that it's sort of hanging by the side, and you can see a familiar mark on it that people from within the townships would recognize as being that of the courier. And he'll approach and sort of strangely considering his appearance, jovially smiles and says, "Good evening, folk. Can I share your fire?"
At his approach, Maya will stand up, kind of like at the ready, and her eyes are narrow. But when he comes into the firelight and she recognizes him, her face breaks out into a grin. And she comes around to him and she lays one of her heavy oaken hands onto his shoulder and kind of like gives him a hearty pat on the back. "Well, if it isn't Lance, tell me, you got anything for me?"
"We'd hate to send a courier into the night. Of course, you're welcome."
"Good evening, Maya. I do not have your seeds as yet, but I have heard tell of a druid in these parts, so hopefully I can come across somebody with something new for you."
"Well, fancy that. That's exactly where I'm heading. I don't really see you out past dark. I'm surprised you're here."
"Where else would I be?"
"Life on the road. Not my taste." And I'll head back to the fire and sit down.
I'll approach the circle of firelight and just find an open space. Would I recognize any of you? Like, do you regularly use the courier service?
I probably have, because I'm gone for, like, sometimes weeks at a time.
Okay.
"You have occasionally delivered parcels of money from me to a woman in Plymouth."
"Mm-hmm. Mrs. Mavin."
"All right, well, I'm fucking done."
Is that child Maya support?
Would she go back to her maiden name?
Yeah, you've probably delivered messages to and from to my multiple households.
Real subtle money flex there, Jordan.
Not that I own houses, but I have fucking multiple fucking 1%ers. Families. I'm swimming in debt.
Entering the file, I'll, you know, acknowledge each of you with a, you know, like a nice nod and a wave, and set my pack down and immediately, like, take off my boots and just start rubbing my legs and trying to relax a little.
I'll pull out some smoked fish and offer it to the courier.
"Thank you kindly.
The least I can do."
Mr. Hawkins, is it?
"Indeed. You can call me Lance."
"Righto, Mr. Hawkins.
If I'm not mistaken, Mac McGuire, good to see you."
It is a very warm and humid night as the fire crackles, the sounds of crickets and frogs off in the swamp begin to reach your ears, but you guys are able to cook whatever it may be that you have for dinner. If you just have rations, and it's probably just like hardtack and jerky. We didn't really talk about, you know, you guys buying rations, so I'm not super stressed, at least for this part, what you're, what it is that you guys are eating. But the it eventually comes to later in the evening, about the time that people might consider going to sleep. What are you going to be doing? Are you guys setting up tents? Probably guys don't have tents. That's why they set this sort of covering.
Rolling out a bedroll and balling up my cloak to sort of lay on.
Yeah, Lance will roll out a bedroll and sort of prepare a space, but I will take a seat facing outward from the circle. And not actually lay in the bedroll.
I'd be happy to take first watch if you're all tired.
I was just about to ask, what are these parts like with the animals or brigadans?
Most parts are bad parts.
We're just outside of a town filled with desperate people.
Lance, you've been here before. It's actually pretty pretty quiet. The people that generally the people that come here are people that aren't dangerous. So much as just, you know, they weren't fitting into other places in society. And they don't really tolerate you know, people who aren't going to put in an honest day's work, people who are underhanded.
Yeah.
That said, you all know that there are still bandits that traverse and prey on people on the road. Why don't we have Lance, why don't you give me a average knowledge adventuring check.
Oh, that's wrong. We put an extra green. Two successes, one threat.
Yeah, I mean, bandits, there aren't... You have never specifically run into bandits out in this area. But you have heard, you don't know whether they're rumors or not, that the reason why they try to get people to stop at this point before going into the village and not traveling the 3 or 4 hours of walking, you have heard that there's things in the swamp that try to grab people and drown them in the middle of the night. Excellent. But that's generally on the road, not here.
Right, right. Yeah, so I would relay all of that information about the folk in town, about the swamp creatures.
Well, now I don't like the sound of that.
And still suggest that we arrange a watch.
Okay. Setting up a watch, I mean, it's up to you guys as to, you know, how long they are and who takes them. But it probably sets you back traveling-wise. You're probably looking at setting out a little bit later in the morning if everybody sets out together. But, again, it's only... 3 hours or so walk from here. So it's not like if you guys wake up later, you're not going to make it to town by sunset the next day.
Would I have any knowledge of any type of aquatic creature that might live out here and drown people? Like, would I be able to make a divine check or a knowledge magic?
I'll say you've never heard of anything like that. It's certainly possible. The world is strange and grows stranger by the year, it seems. But
yeah,
you've never heard of anything like that.
Maya would definitely like lean forward, looking at Lance when he talks about this like swamp monster. And
swamp monster!
And it's probably, like, she has, like, a lighter tone like to her voice. And she's like, "Now, Lance, I've seen some mutated creatures here and there throughout my life. But this swamp thing that's trying to drown people, is it animal-based or is it a plant mutation?"
"I have been among those fortunate enough to not actually encounter this thing. But I'm not fool enough to think it doesn't actually exist."
Purses her lips and nods. "Curious. Definitely curious."
Tyler, I'd like to, while I'm sitting here by the fire, sort of thumbing through my book, I'm going to stop and close my eyes for a moment and cast the predict spell.
Okay, what are you asking?
Are we going to be attacked in the night?
Okay, go ahead and...
It's an average difficulty.
Go ahead and make an average check then. Spend your strain.
Ah! Matt gets a nosebleed and goes to bed. One failure and two advantage.
Unclear. You don't get any sort of premonition or indication. For two advantages, I'd say something might happen overnight, but it's hard to tell.
Okay. And I can't spend any of that advantage to recover the strain that I just accumulated, correct?
I'm spending it to give you a little bit of information. Not necessarily the information that you were looking for, but or not complete information, basically.
Okay.
And I do believe you're right. I think you don't lose it until you finish casting.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, that's
true. Ah, gotcha, gotcha. All right. I think Mr. Stormborn's got the right of it, setting up a watch schedule.
If you each take 2 hours at some point, that puts you at about 10 hours worth of rest.
Ben sits up when Mac says that. Looks at Mac. "All right, wake me up when it's my turn."
"I would just like to say that I tend to get startled if I'm woken too abruptly. Just watch out for my hands. If you get hurt, that ain't my problem."
"All right, you should probably take second watch then."
"Not first watch."
"Well, Tarvok has already said he's going to take first watch, and I don't want to get hurt waking up Maya, so..."
"Y'all don't want to catch these hands."
True story.
Cash you outside.
Tarvok, would you like to take first, or shall I?
I'll take first, if you don't mind.
Quite right. Okay, so I think the watch order is Tarvok, Maya, Lance. And what do you two want to do? Who goes first from Mac and Ben?
Whoever you choose to wake up.
Yep.
Okay. We'll see when it gets to my turn. When I'm going to wake up.
All right, so Tarvok, about 2 hours, comes and goes. It's hard to tell at night exactly how much is 2 hours, but you guys probably are watching a torch burn, and that gives you a decent gauge. You know, the frogs and the crickets continue, but they're nothing out of the ordinary for this area.
Okay.
And then who is taking the next one?
Maya. How does
Tarvok
wake her up?
Yeah, does Tarvok have to make a check to wake her up and not get punched in the mouth?
Takes her boots.
No.
which skill block is for a gentle nudge?
I'll create a light rain above her. Or a wind or something.
I'm not sure if that's more or less likely to catch hands for doing that.
You are able to wake Maya. Maya's watch goes by without incident. At one point, you hear some fluttering as some winged creature must have swooped down and caught a mouse or a frog or something, but it's very quiet.
Well, at the end of my watch, I will wake up Lance.
Okay. All right. So, Lance, why don't you give me an easy perception check?
Successes.
Okay. About halfway through your watch, for about 10 minutes or so, you briefly see some green and purple glowing out distant in the swamp. You just kind of catch it through the leaves because you are elevated a bit, but you see it for a little while and then it fades out, and the rest of the watch goes by without event.
Does it seem like natural phenomena that I'm familiar with, like bog lights and things like that?
Why don't you give me a hard magic or adventuring check?
One success.
There are tales of will-o'-wisps, specifically in swamps. You know, strange, almost dancing lights. Many think that they attempt to lure people into the swamps to their death. But there's just as many people who sort of discount it as, you know, the light playing tricks on people who are on, or not necessarily the light playing tricks, but your eyes playing tricks on you because you're tired. What you choose to believe is up to you.
All right, well, after observing these strange lights, when it comes time, I'll come over to Mac. And I'll look down at him and then look over at Ben and look back at the swamp, and then I'll nudge Mac awake.
No, Grandma, I can't have any more biscuits.
Ain't your Grandma, Mac.
What?
It's your watch.
My eyes snap open. What did you say about my grandma?
Listen. There were some strange lights coming from that direction. And I'll point. And what was it, about 45 minutes ago or so?
Yeah, around then.
Yeah. A little less than an hour ago.
Strange lights from the swamp, huh?
Yep.
You didn't feel the urge to go wandering off into the darkness, stripping all your clothes off?
I just look at you stony-faced.
It's probably nothing then.
Just the same. I kind of look down at your book, look back at you. You seem to know a thing or two. Keep your eyes open, huh?
Oh, that's the whole point, isn't it?
Indeed.
And I'll settle in facing away from the dying remnants of the fire.
I'll reach out a piece of my jerky toward you. See if you want it.
Much obliged.
The cricket's chirping is almost melodic at times. Every once in a while, you hear the hoot or the screech of an owl or some other bird of prey. But your watch goes by without incident.
All right. When it's time, I'll head over and wake Benny up. Looks like you get to greet the sun.
All right.
Try not to lighten anybody's purse.
Wouldn't do that. We're all heading towards Jeremy's cell.
Of course you wouldn't. I roll myself back up in my blanket.
So again, as dawn approaches, you hear the frogs croaking, the crickets chirping. The bird activity seems to died down a bit, but a couple times you hear splashes in the waters close by, as it seems the fish are now starting to feed, especially like right at dawn. It seems that they're they must be feeding on the bugs that are on the surface of the water. But before you know it, the sun is up and everybody's waking up from a night's rest.
Everything is so sticky.
Yeah. There's a bit of a dew that is set in addition to things just sort of being damp now from the humidity overnight. And you're already starting to feel like it barely cooled down overnight, but you're already starting to feel that temperature kind of creep up with the humidity again. And it's going to be a very sticky day.
I'm going to go over and kneel by the water line of the swamp and pray for a moment. And then I am going to wash myself in the swamp waters. But during my prayer, I'm going to like purify the water that goes into my hands.
I was going to say, you kind of come back from the water just covered in mud.
Yeah. To them, it looks like I'm cleaning myself in muck. But and I will drink some of it as well.
You probably can purify and make it so any of the stagnation and disease doesn't affect you, but it still probably does not taste great.
That's fine.
Well, okay then.
Ready to set off whenever you are, Mac.
Yep, we should we should get moving. The less time spent in there, the better.
I fill my water skin and stand.
Should we travel together, then?
It only makes sense since we've all got the same destination.
Only if you promise not to offer me any of that, I say, pointing to your water skin that you just filled up from the swap.
Thanks to Neptar's blessing, I assure you it's pure.
It rains enough here. I don't know that I need...
A polished turd is still a turd, Mr. Stormborn.
Then he's just smiling and nodding at him like you would a child with what? A terrible idea that you're not going to be able to do anything about.
Mm-hmm. Suit yourselves.
I've traveled this road 100 times over. If you all want to follow along.
Sure. Do you recommend drinking the swamp water?
I do not.
Okay. I mean, I'm not really a naturalist, but it does seem like a poor idea.
If you're left with nothing else, you can boil it over the fire and potentially have something potable, but I wouldn't trust it.
I have faith that the gods of the sea, the god of the seas, can purify water better than your fire.
Evra, give me a resilience check. No, I'm just kidding.
I still have faith.
Or maybe you're at the back of the group, just like no one wants to walk behind you.
All right, big man. It's not a pissing contest. We should hit the road.
Make a beautiful all right. That too, as I walk on.
What'd you say? I'm sorry?
He could purify that too, as I walk on.
Hello everyone, and welcome to the mid-roll for episode 1 of Campaign 2 for Tabletop Tales presents What Comes After. Not a whole lot to get to here, so just wanted to give you a reminder, if you're enjoying the show, please be sure to rate it on whatever podcasting app you use. That goes a long way in getting us featured and attracting new listeners to the show. You can also follow me at whatcomesafter_ on Twitter. You can also find us on Facebook at Tabletop Tales. Just a reminder that we try to upload 3 times a month. Every other Monday is What Comes After Campaign 2. And the first Monday of the month that isn't a What Comes After release is our Star Wars campaign, Will of the Galaxy. So be sure to check that out. Before we get back to the show, though, I wanted to take a moment as part of the D20 Radio Network to tell you about another great podcast on the network. The Order 66 podcast is the oldest podcast on the D20 Radio Network. Order 66 has been an original podcast source about Star Wars tabletop role-playing game for over a decade, having started with Wizards of the Coast Star Wars Saga Edition. The podcast currently features the Star Wars role-playing game by Fantasy Flight Games. You can check them out at feeds.feedburner.com/order66. All right. So as I said, it's about a 3-hour walk into the village. As you walk, you do notice a couple spots where the road is a bit low, and there's actually stone foundations that sort of line the road to keep the water back. It looks like they've tried filling this, but it sort of settles in or gets, you know, when if there's any sort of current that comes around here, it sort of gets washed out in a couple places. But after about 3 hours, the first thing you actually hear is the ringing of a blacksmith hammer. As you get close, the first buildings of note are the stables. And they are still closed up. Lance, they would normally be out at this point. It is like mid-morning now, mid to late morning. There is nobody in the streets, but that's not particularly surprising, given that most of the residents here are lumberjacks. Mm-hmm. So at this point in the day, they'd already be out either working the sawmill or cutting trees somewhere. The sawmill is a bit to the north. Probably a 45-minute walk from the town proper. Mm-hmm. And then the areas where they're logging are generally a bit farther.
Hmm. It's not unusual for the street to be quiet, per se, but a bit locked up. It's a little different than kind of gesture toward where the stables are.
The hammering stops for a little while, and then picks back up soon thereafter. But for the most part, the hammering keeps going as you guys have approached fairly regularly. So somebody is working at the blacksmith.
Mr. Hawkins, do you know where I might find who's in charge here? I might have a list of workers and where they're stationed.
Would I know who is in charge? I know I have a delivery to make, but I'm not sure if I would know who's in charge.
An officer, some sort.
The general manager's name is Steven Jensen.
The catch-all for people that are arriving, people don't know where to go, is generally the general store. Jeffrey Jensen is the storekeep, and okay. He, if it's not something under his purview, you know, he'll be able to point you to the right place. As you guys are sort of walking down the main thoroughfare, there's really only you get into town, and the stables are on your right hand side at a T intersection with the road going both straight and left. You can hear and sort of now you can see a little trail of smoke from a forge to the left there. And down the thoroughfare, The going straight brings you into town. There's several houses sort of on that road there, but it's quiet. There's no children in the streets. And it looks like all the buildings are still closed up tight right here.
Strange. Well,
yeah.
I'm going to make my way towards the general store.
Tarvok, I will accompany you. I have sent seeds to this Jeffrey several times, but have not had the pleasure of actually meeting him yet, but seems like he might be my best option for finding this druid. I'll accompany you.
Very well. Let's see if we can find some answers.
So the first building that you guys pass by is on the left-hand side of this road, and it has a little sign that says Sheriff's. But this door is also closed.
Seeing that, I'll nod a quick goodbye to Benny and head in the direction of the sheriff's office.
Okay. The door is locked.
I'll knock.
You give it a minute, there's no answer.
Mr. Hawkins, do you know where the inn is?
Is there an inn?
It's farther up. It's farther up this road. There's a couple of the actual year-round residents, families that actually live here. On the right-hand side, more or less across from, or not quite across from, but on the way on the right-hand side. After that, a couple, like 150 feet or so, you can at this point, you can see the general store, as well as two homes, and then a larger building, which is the hotel and tavern.
Outside
the tavern is sort of like a village square.
The hotel and the tavern are right there across the square. I'll kind of point it out to him.
Good.
I am curious, though, where everyone is.
It's usually a little bit more active.
Right. And Lance kind of glances about the town a little bit, and I'm assuming we still have the persistent hammering.
Yeah, it'll stop for a few minutes, then pick up again.
Do Tarvok and I find our way to the general store?
So as you're walking down the street, as I said, you're past two homes on the right-hand side. The second home, you can see the door's closed. The first one, the door is wide open. The sheriff's office is actually pretty small. The sheriff's office, as you guys are going by it, it's like a 12 by 18 foot building. The homes are much larger. Looks like, you know, a couple, I have to double check, but they're like five or six people probably living there. And as I said, the first door is open. But as you approach the general store, that door is closed. However, immediately apparent, across the way a bit, is the village square, and there are a bunch of tables set out, and they all have, most of them have place settings. There's a large table that has, a bunch of food. There's a fire pit that has a pig that was roasted, and very clearly left far too long, maybe even to the point where the fire went out before, you know, like while it was still up there. Like nobody extinguished the fire, it just burned out. The door to the, like I said, the door to the general store is closed. The door to the hotel is open. And there is a large sort of manor house a little farther up the road. And there's a road here. So there's the village square, and then there's a road that leads off to the left in the same direction that the road that you passed earlier.
I'll glance towards like the square where like the dying fire pit is and the tables of food.
The fire is dead. It is dead. It is cold.
And then I'll look at Tarvok and just kind of say, if I had hair on my arms, they'd be standing on end right now. And then I'm going to try the door to the general store.
It is locked.
I've seen ghost ships, but ghost towns. This is
peculiar. Is there any idea where the workers are barracked?
They are down the earlier branch off to the left. There are three like large bunkhouses.
And you said the general store is locked?
Correct.
Hmm.
Duh. What meal is that? Anyone tell from here? Look like last night's dinner or this morning's breakfast.
Is getting closer to it?
Yeah, I'll get closer.
I'll walk towards it, but I'm going to hang back just a little bit.
I'm staying where I'm at.
There is a table, like I said, that's set up with all sorts of different sides. Things like corn, potatoes, some different vegetables, even some fruits, maybe a couple roasted chickens as well. But it's, for the most part, it looks untouched, but it's definitely sort of soggy and been here for at least some bit of time.
What a waste of perfectly good food.
I'm going to use the predict spell. Okay. I'm going to ask if I will find Senek here, alive.
Okay. Go ahead and give me an average divine check.
2 success, 1 advantage. And strain is 2 for that, right?
Yep. So I'd say you have to... It's probably a little bit more narrow. You have to... Will you find him here? No, you will not.
Okay.
And for the advantage, he has not been here in the last 12 hours.
Tarvok immediately begins to start to look anxious. They're not here.
Breakfast or dinner?
Dinner. Senek hasn't been here for at least 12, 16 hours. But their debt wasn't paid. Something's not right. I'm going to that blacksmith. There's obviously someone there.
Right.
Is everybody going? What are other people doing?
Before I leave the center of town with all the food, are there any of my hybrid fruits or veggies on the table?
Probably not. It's a lot of just very basic stuff. You're not sure anything like that has made it this far.
I figured I would have sent some seeds up that way.
Yeah, I mean, they may not be the ones to take chances, especially if they don't know. You don't see anything. Like I said, there's some corn here.
Yeah, I kind of look at the corn and potatoes that look a little mushy, and I kind of like scrunch my face up at it, and then I turn to follow Tarvok. Yeah, best we find out what's going on around here.
What's Mac doing?
I'm just sort of taking this in while they're saying that. I had moved towards the hotel. You said the door was open?
The door to the hotel is open.
Do I hear or see anything inside the hotel?
As you're approaching the door, the first thing you notice is it looks like most likely all the tables out there have been pulled from inside. And just a quick glance in, you do not see anything or anyone.
Taking Mac.
Something's not right here.
Barracks. Check if they left anything. Pointing towards the manor, where I assume the person in charge, or are we checking out the sound? Or leaving that to them? As I sort of motion my head towards, I assume the three others go in that direction.
Well, seeing as we don't know what's going on, we should probably stick together.
All right.
And Lance had already been kind of slowly moving toward that direction of the blacksmith anyway, watching what everyone was doing, but that's kind of the idea.
So as you begin approaching, you do see a man. He's got his back to you, and he's hammering at something, and he looks at it. And he goes inside his, inside the building there.
As he turns to go inside, I'll shout out to him.
He doesn't even turn. Like, the way it's set up is, like, he's hammering, and he picks it up and looks at it, and he just can kind of walk straight inside from where he was.
All right, then I'll just shout as soon as he starts to move towards the door. You there! Where is everyone?
There's a thud as the bar that he was hammering at falls to the ground. What?
Where who are is you? Everyone?
He sort of looks up at the sky, looks at the sun. Well, I imagine most of them are out cutting down trees. Why?
Is this place usually this empty, with food laid all about?
With food laid all about?
And I come up at that point, too.
There's feasting tables, with a pig on a roast, just left there.
As you're talking, he sort of turns and walks inside. And you can see the door doesn't close, so you see him sort of walk to something on a wall. And he's looking at it, and he reaches up. Son of a... Yeah, good. Today's what, Monday?
Yes. I look at the courier.
Yeah. Yes, it is Monday.
Ooh, good. Now I know that August 16th is a Monday.
15th.
It was the 15th yesterday.
Yesterday was the 15th.
Oh, I only saw that now. Okay.
So just a quick note.
Somebody's trying to be good about taking notes this time.
So, all right. So just a quick note with the calendar. Months, I'll have 28 or 35 days. So... It is always the first is always a Sunday.
Months always have what? I'm sorry?
Months always have 28 or 35 days.
So.
And so the first is always a Sunday?
Yes. To make it simpler for keeping track. Months have 28 or 35 days. Mm-hmm. It's basically 1 month in every three has 35 days. That gets you to 364. Then there's a festival day, which is Remembrance Day, which is does not have like a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday day. It is at the, it is between May and June. And every 4 years, it's 2 days.
16th is a Tuesday.
No, it'd be a Monday.
It'd be a Monday.
Because the 14th would be Saturday.
Okay.
He's right.
So he sort of, yeah, so you guys confirm the date and he goes, yeah, well, sort of scratches the back of his head. He's an older gentleman, sort of like the horseshoe balding pattern, gray hair. He's very, I guess, sooty is probably the best way to put it. He's clearly been working the forge, soaked in sweat, which is making like the soot all runny, and his clothes are just, you know, filthy. He goes, well, I had a late night on Saturday into Sunday, and I guess I slept through the feast day. If today is Monday, you said it's out there, it's all still laid out. And he sort of puts his stuff down and goes like he's about to head off and get some food.
Everything is locked up. None of the kids are here.
What do you mean? It's...
The stables are shut. The sheriff's office was locked. Jeffy's not working at the general store.
That's weird.
Yes. You didn't see or hear anything? You just been here hammering?
Well, I guess I slept most of the day yesterday.
You know someone by the name Sedek?
Possibly. Sounds familiar. I'm going to assume you guys have sort of converged a bit closer to the blacksmith.
Yeah.
So there's a small house. Looks like it's probably like a one or two room dwelling. And then there's a forge. It's a mostly open area with another, you know, like a covered, you know, just a roof, a large stone forge, with an anvil and various tools. There's a large, there's something large with a tarp pulled over it, off to the side.
There's the magic motorcycle. They're supposed to be working here, but they haven't been here for a day now.
Well, how do you know that? How do you know they haven't been here for a day? Maybe everybody just left. You sure it's Monday?
Divine intuition. And yes.
Does everyone clear out of town on the regular when there's work to be done?
No, I mean,
not the folk here.
Most of the folk that stay in the bunkhouses are off, and
right. But
several of the permanent
the sheriff's office is locked up tight, and there's nobody in the hotel.
Well, that does sound concerning.
Well, good. I'm glad you've caught up.
But you're saying the food's no good?
Forget the food. Where could the people be?
Sonny, I can't forget the food. I haven't eaten in a day. And he turns around to go back inside. If nobody follows him, after a couple minutes, he sort of comes out with almost like a handful of jerky. I guess this is going to have to do. And he just starts...
A lot of jerky being eaten in this episode.
This episode sponsored by Redacted Beef Jerky. Tyler will need to edit that part out.
Nothing about
Redacted.
So then what happened to him?
That's precisely what we're trying to figure out. What's your name, Smithy?
Eric Master.
Lean over to Mac. You want to go check out one of those, I don't think he knows shit.
No, I think you're right. Is it common for Sheriff Harris to lock up their office in the middle of the day like that?
Well, I mean, if they're not there, I would imagine they wouldn't leave it unlocked. Probably one of the few places in town that actually stays locked.
Quick question for you. When you have feasts, huh? Do they set the tables, or does everyone get their own plate and sit?
Everybody gets their own plate and sits. You cook up a pig or a bunch of steaks. Everybody makes a bunch of stuff. Kind of a potluck. Most of the time. Sometimes.
And you say you had a festival day 2 days
Sunday
ago?
Sunday would be, I wouldn't call it festival day, but Sunday's lunch is sort of a big banquet type deal.
I think we can go figure out what might have drawn their attention away from... Because they all gathered their food themselves and put the plates down.
Yeah, I should probably have a look back around the...
So a point of clarification is, like, there are just, like, empty plates sort of on the table.
Oh, I thought you...
Almost like, you know, no. The place settings are there.
I thought there was...
On the main table, there's, like, a buffet table where there's food that is going bad.
I thought there was food on the individual plates.
There might be a couple that have it, but it doesn't look like everybody had gotten to that point yet.
Yeah, that changes things. Okay.
I thought everybody had, like, disappeared in the middle of dinner.
I mean, it may not be in the middle of, but
a couple
it seems like
gathering.
Yeah.
Lunch was about to start.
I'd still like to have a look around the seating area.
You know where I could find Steven Jensen? That was the name, right?
That's the general manager's name, yes.
Yeah.
Was it Steve? Jeffrey
is the... is Jeffrey... you guys probably don't know. But Steven is the general manager.
I know that Steven's the general manager because that's who signed the letter that I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have that information.
There's
other information you don't know.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, if you want to tell me all the things that I don't know, that would make this scene a whole lot easier to deal with.
We know that Jeff runs the store.
Right.
So Mac sort of starts to make his way back.
I'm going to go with him.
Towards the... Okay. Let's see.
I'm going to look around for, like, footprints.
Yeah, let them resolve their thing first. I'll go next.
So, as you guys are heading back, why don't we have Mac give me a vigilance check. It's going to be average, upgraded once. I'll give you a boost die because... Ben is with you and likely on the lookout as well.
I think I'll be able to get to the roof of one of these buildings, maybe get a better view.
It's one success and three advantage.
As you're coming back, you catch sight of a smallish creature dart into the tree line. From the area of the tables.
What the hell is that?
What was what I say as I look down from the...
for your advantages, you're pretty sure it had a tail.
Something small with a tail ran that away.
Ben sort of probably just kind of... sizing up a way to get up onto your roof.
Now I'm looking around for what's the best roof to watch that direction from.
Actually, I'll give you the tail for two advantages. As you start to get closer. There is a divot, like something scooped out some of the mashed potatoes that you remember looking at as you walked by, and it was sort of like, at this point, it was sort of just like this flat bowl of mashed potatoes, and now there's sort of like a little divot in it.
Something's been at the mashed potatoes.
As you're sort of standing here looking and taking in the scene as well, you do see a lot of footprints.
Like people-sized footprints or...
Yeah.
Other thing.
Most of what you see seems to be people-sized footprints. You'd have to look a little bit harder if you wanted to try to track and see and differentiate what's there.
Keep a look at it if you want to.
Yeah, I'm going to get
started on some detective work.
Yeah, I'm going to start detecting.
I sort of draw weapons and position myself to have a good angle on where you said the thing ran to.
I think it was some kind of rodent. Looks like it's been at the mashed potatoes.
Why don't we path back over to the blacksmith? What are you guys doing over there at this point?
I was asking if he knew where to find Steven Jensen.
Well, if he's still here, be at the manor house.
Could you point me in
right across from the... You guys passed it. I mean, it's the biggest house here.
Okay.
It's right by... it's right across from the... The inn and or the hotel and the store.
Is there anywhere where the entire town might normally go to? Are we overreacting over some tradition?
There's no place that I know of that people would go to, and I've been here since the town started. He looks like he's starting to get worried.
So where do you think everyone is off to?
I really don't know. It's if something was wrong and we needed to leave, somebody would have come and gotten me. Right?
Are you sure about that?
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, you got family here, or a best friend?
No, but the people here are generally pretty kind and take care of each other.
I'm just saying, if a panic happened, you ain't got family or a best friend looking after you. You got, like, an apprentice?
No.
Oh. Well, okay then.
You think they're all right?
Where are the bells? The alarm system for the town. If there's a fire or if there's something. Where are they located?
I mean, people just shout. There's not a whole lot of ground to cover. And this town is pretty small.
Cool.
I mean, where you're standing now at the blacksmith, you're a couple hundred feet from the square.
Okay.
And it looks like he's more or less the outskirts on this side of town.
All right. Where is the tallest building?
The hotel's got a second story, and so does the manor. But that's about it.
Right. Probably best if you just hunker down here. Sit tight. We're going to look around. I'm going to kind of orient myself toward the town and look. And then start down a path toward the manor.
Well, now wait a minute. If something serious has really happened here, shouldn't somebody? He stops talking, picks up the blacksmith's hammer, and hefts it, and sort of looks around like he's looking for anybody that might try to attack him, and he backs into his house, shuts the door, and you hear thunk as what you might presume to be like a
bar for the door. Yeah.
Sort of goes down.
I shout through the door. Don't worry, we'll let you know when it's when everything's all sorted out.
You don't sound very reassuring.
Well, that's because I'm not sure if we're going to sort things out. But if we do, I'll let you know.
My rules.
Thanks.
Lance is, as you might imagine, a pretty quick mover. So I'm on my way to the manor house already by this point.
So as you arrive there, you probably see Ben sort of clambering up the side. He's probably just sort of getting to the edge of the roof. Mm. And it seems like Mac has sort of gone into this like, I don't know, Jay, do you want to describe what his process looks like when he starts?
He's not magicking, so he's just sort of like
a magnifying glass
moving. Oh, that would be really, really silly.
No, but I'm sure he sort of has some visual cue of him sort of starting.
He just
to...
sort of gets really focused. He's not a super nimble guy, but he's short and knows enough about not disturbing, you know, like the scene to be able to pick up on clues. And so he's probably like wandering around the table, getting really close to the ground without actually like getting down.
As you're sort of looking at this, one thing that you sort of know, tracking in to sort of sort out these footprints and figure out where people might have gone, that's not exactly your forte.
I don't want to track the footprints around. Yeah, cool. I'm not trying to track, but maybe try to puzzle out, like, does it look like there was a scuffle? You know, does it look like there was some sort of altercation or everybody moved in this general direction, like not necessarily following the trail of footprints from the vicinity, but does it look like all of a sudden everybody turned and moved, you know, towards the manor house or something?
It's hard for you to tell. You spend a bit of time tracking. I mean, if you want to make the survival check, or if you think somebody else might be able to help you out with that, then you're more than welcome to. It would be easy, but I'm going to put two setbacks on it.
Two successes.
Yes, it does look like the tracks move off to the north, which is in the direction of the actual mill.
Can I tell how fresh the tracks are?
I don't think so, not with that check.
Yep. Looks like everybody turned and went that way.
How deftly is Ben scaling the side of the manor?
I mean, I didn't ask for a check, but okay. There's some handholds. I mean, the manor is distinguished from the rest of the buildings in town because the first floor is stone, and then it's wood built on top of that. So getting up to like one of the spots where there's like a roof over just a one story portion is fairly easy, and it looks like he's sort of had to do a little bit of a jump and pull to get himself up there.
Question. Can I turn into a bird?
in order for you to do that and retain your
brain,
you still have your mind, but you still lose some of your normal instincts unless you use the characteristic retention, and it would be a hard check.
Hard is 3 purples, no setbacks or anything?
Correct.
Oh, no, I do not turn into a bird. That would be 3 failures and 2 advantage.
You turn into a wood statue of a goose.
I turn into what can't fly, a penguin.
You start to transform, but it doesn't cause any damage, but it starts to hurt.
I sprout leaves off of my arms instead of feathers.
Yeah, you've never turned yourself into something so small, and you think that maybe that might be part of it. It's just you haven't mastered the ability to sort of reduce.
I let out kind of like a yelp as leaves start to sprout from my arms, and then I look at my arms and I pluck a leaf off and I wince in pain, and then I continue just plucking leaves off of my arm and wincing as I do so.
What the hell?
Don't ask. It doesn't matter. Didn't work. Pluck. Damn it.
For your advantages,
oh, I'm guessing that costs strain or something, though.
Yep, it costs 2 strain. You hear some rustling in the brush. You're not quite at the manor house, and there's a little bit of tree line next to the road. You hear some rustling in that brush, and it's very clearly moving away. It very quickly sort of, you hear as something, you must have spooked something.
As I'm plucking leaves off of my arm painfully, I kind of look at the tree line. I look down at the remaining leaves on my arm, like sprouting from my arm. And I pluck the last one and I take a deep breath. Okay, I'm going to go up to the tree line and put my hand on a tree. And I want to try to reach out and just see if I can sense human bodies in the forest. Is that something?
Yeah, so I'm going to say that the check you made was to turn into a bird, fly up, and scout. You failed that check. So you don't sense anything when you try that. You just heard something scrambling away.
Okay, so it was probably an animal. I kind of just turn back to anyone that's looking at me, and I kind of shrug.
When you yelp aloud, I sort of come upright and look over in your direction. As if I'm expecting a ruckus.
I just shrug. I'm out of ideas.
I didn't realize we had just resorted to screaming into the void.
I'm surrounded by, there's a pile of leaves at my feet.
Lance was watching Ben climb up. What is he doing once?
What's everybody doing? Mac was searching the ground for clues. Yep. Ben's climbing the building.
Yeah, once it gets there, he's sort of looking around.
Yeah, trying to get a better view on things from up here. Paying attention towards the tree line. And once I see Max pointing somewhere, probably glancing in that direction, see if I can get a better view from up here.
I don't know. Would I have heard a scurrying in the bushes as well, or no?
She's probably a bit behind you.
Mm-hmm.
So it was probably something she heard, but she did react. You heard her yelp and then saw her go over to the bushes there.
Okay. I'll sort of move my hand back and forth to get her attention, and then fingers to the lips, tell her to be quiet, and I'll stalk towards the bushes. I'm going to draw an arrow.
Okay.
I'm assuming a perception check to see if I can identify something in there, right?
Sure. It's going to be average upgraded once. I'm going to put 2 setback on there because of the denseness of some of the brush here. You guys do have story points.
1 success, 3 threats, and a despair.
Bum, bum, ba, bum. Okay. Wah.
First despair of the new campaign.
You step towards the brush. You knock an arrow as you catch sight of this small lizard-like creature that you've heard this called kobolds. And before you realize it, it is on top of you. And basically, your despair is going to be used to upgrade its initiative.
That seems disadvantageous.
We're going to roll initiative. That way, I don't forget that. And then we're going to call it a session. So I'm going to say you get a setback die, and you suffer a strain from this being startled as this thing sort of just barrels out of the bushes with this little spear at you.
Tyler, under predict, there is Quicksilver Reflexes. Is that something that you need to do in advance of rolling initiative?
I assume so.
I think I'm also assuming so, because it doesn't seem like it's a reflexive action. But I wasn't 100% certain.
Yes.
Okay.
It's an average check. I'd say it probably lasts until the end of a scene. It's something if you worried you might get ambushed, then you can use that.
And for initiative, it was either cool or
vigilance. You are rolling vigilance.
Okay, so vigilance.
Yep.
Okay, that's better for me.
You can always choose to roll vigilance. Cool is only if you're getting the jump on someone. Jeez. All right. So it's going to be all the PCs and then these kobolds as one charges out of the underbrush at Lance and Maya. That one is at short range from you at this point. The others you cannot see yet. Although at this point you can probably hear them, they're hissing and growling as this thing with a spear sort of jumps out at you. What Comes After is a Genesis Actual Play podcast presented by Tabletop Tales in a custom setting created by me, your host and game master, Tyler O'Neill. It uses a modified version of the Genesis role-playing system created by Edge Studio and pulls content and features from the campaign settings Realms of Terranoth and Keyforge Secrets of the Crucible, also published by Edge Studios. Follow us on Twitter at @whatcomesafter_, find us on Facebook by searching Tabletop Tales, and be sure to leave a rating or review on the podcast app of your choice. It really helps us get noticed.